fatherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son from the faithful one.
Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Lord, for everything that is happening. It's not coming. It's here. It's here. And so, Lord, it's our good pleasure to submit to you and walk with you. Father, would you, by the power of your Spirit, just impart leadership to us, a leadership mindset, a legacy mindset, an investment mindset, an intentionality, Lord, and character, integrity. May we not just be a house of prayer, may we be a house of integrity as well. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. We're going to begin a brand new series this morning, Generations, as leadership, legacy, intentional investment, and character are huge keys to the kingdom of God being sustained and advanced here in central Oklahoma. Leadership, legacy, intentional investment. Sister Amrielle's word about intentional reconciliation among generations and among people. And then, of course, character and integrity. Those are all huge keys. God wants to extend his Spirit and his kingdom throughout all of central Oklahoma and beyond. And we're a big part of that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Get away from your family and your father's house to a land that I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. He didn't even tell him where to go. He just said, you've dwelt long enough where you are. Let's get going. Amen. God's speaking to somebody today. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. Make your name great and you'll be a blessing. Look at that. I'll bless you, yes, but you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless those who bless you, curse him who curses you, and in you, through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Oh, that's a lot of families. What a promise we see. And the Lord say, you know, get out from where you are. If you're in a rut, it's time to move on. I know I didn't tell you where to go, but can we leave behind the old place? Why? Because I got an assignment for you. I'm going to do something in you that's generational. Think about that. God says, I'm going to do something in you, Abram, that's generational, and it'll cause all the families of the earth to be blessed. What I'm going to do in you. Man, that's not a time to say, Lord, you got the wrong guy. Not me, Lord. Can't be me. That's why we prayed for each other this morning. We need to rise up to truth about who we really are, what we have, and what Christ can do in and through us. God says to you, Grace Church, I'm going to do something in you that'll cause all families in the earth to be blessed. And if you think, well, that's not possible, you don't know God. God can do marvelous, fantastic work through people who'll dare to believe him. Grace Church, what God is doing with us is too big to be done in one generation. See, when we think, okay, God wants to do something in me that'll cause a whole bunch of families to be blessed, you think that can't happen. God's generational. He's not just thinking about your time on this planet. He's talking about investment you make, legacy you leave that carries on throughout your family tree from generation to generation. So what God's doing with us is too big to be done in one generation. He ministers to me constantly these days. The Lord ministers to me constantly to pour into others, to raise up others, to invest in future leaders. Let me marry this passage with it, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen, somebody. So we're all one in Christ, and if you belong to Christ, if you're his, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How about that? That means this promise in Genesis 12 is not only about us, it's to be carried on through us. Because the promised seed is Christ, and we're in him. And he's in us. So let's be honest, we can be way more now-minded than generationally minded. Right? If we're honest with ourselves, we can think a lot about the here and now. Do we live in a culture that is here and now? We need to think generationally, because everything God does with you right now, he's doing with one eye on the next generation. Those that'll come through you. Those that you can touch and impact on his behalf. God wants us to partner with him in convincing followers that they're actually leaders. And leaders that they're actually ambassadors for the government of heaven. Amen. We don't even need all of you to believe it. I'd like for that to happen. But you start getting some lions woke up. You don't need a whole lot of them. Things start changing. Everything God does, he does with an eye on the future, because Jesus Christ plans to govern the earth from the heavens. And because he plans on doing that, it's too big for one generation. So God's always thinking generationally. Do you guys think the enemy ever considers changing things by reaching young people? Does the enemy think generationally? Absolutely he does. And he's pouring all kinds of vile information out there for people to grab and eat up. The idea that love is love. How many of you heard that one? Love is love, everybody. Love is love. Whether it's a man with a man or a man with a 12-year-old he says he loves and wants to marry, or a man and his German shepherd. I kid you not. Love is love. It sounds like wisdom. But according to James 3, it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Because according to James 3, the wisdom from above is first of all pure, peaceable, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruit, and righteousness. But I'm telling you, there's all kinds of information coming at our young people today that sounds like wisdom, but it's not. Anyone figured out yet the number one fan of the Love is Love slogan is pedophiles? The number one fan of undoing marriage as a male and a female, husband and his wife, are people who want to change the age of consent so they can marry whoever they love. And then they'll champion the cause with this slogan. This sound familiar? I was born that way. You can't judge me. I was born to love 12-year-olds. That's who I'm going to marry. And you can't judge me because love is love. And I was born this way. If you haven't caught on that when they try to shift something against God's word, against how God lays it out, the one who invented human beings, this is how it works. Out of his love for us, to protect us, to teach us how to live. There's always underlying motives behind the change that's coming. And there's one on the surface that doesn't seem so far out there. But once you flip that one, then you open the door for all the other. Are we tracking together? Now, I'm not hating on anybody. Let me bring balance to this. I'm going to bring balance to this, because you'll never convert anybody to Christ angry and upset and yelling at people. You want to get angry in prayer. Get on your knees and begin to intercede against who their enemy really is, because their enemy is the same enemy you have. And the same one that tempts you into all kinds of wicked flesh is the same one that convinces them, lies to them, and tempts them in wicked flesh. Go ahead and give God praise. I know you want to. We got to have balance. You'll never convert anybody yelling at them or being mad and all those things. You got to understand who your common enemy is. And all those people that fall into those traps of earthly wisdom. Sounds good. Sounds right. Only problem is, man didn't make himself. God made us. We need to listen to him as far as how we work the best. And if he says this is what marriage is, then that's what marriage is. I'm not hating on anybody. I'm not even judging anybody the way the world does. Although Matthew 7, remember when Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged? You remember that? That one gets thrown out. It's the only one, the one passage the world knows. He goes on to say in verse 5 that before you help your brother with the speck in his eye, approach him knowing you have a log in yours. In other words, approach them with understanding. I have been there. I understand about sin. I understand about temptations of the flesh and wickedness. We don't run with stones in our pockets. Amen, somebody. We run with understanding and compassion and a commonality as another human being how we can be deceived. I love today's young people. They question everything. Young people, they question everything. They ask why all the time. Have you figured out yet if you say, you ask them to do that, and then they don't do it, or they say, why should I do that? That I told you so is not really going to satisfy the young person. I love them for that because they're seekers beyond the surface. They're not just going to readily believe whatever you tell them. I think what you show them, who you show them Jesus is. Amen. Who we show them Jesus is carries a whole lot more weight. And then why he is who we say he is. They're bombarded with information today, but they really long for truth and authenticity. Young people do. Truth and authenticity. They want the real deal. Don't give me fluff and stuff. Give me the real deal. And for us as Christians, that's the way, the truth, and the life. God is the real deal. His son, Jesus Christ, living intimately and triumphantly through human beings by his spirit. That's the real deal. And that's a good thing. I'm glad young people question everything because they're given so much far out information. If they'll dig for truth a little bit, they'll find Jesus. Amen. They will. Kids today are bombarded with a whole lot of untruth, different sexualities, and what's cool. Happens all the time. We get phone calls on this all the time. What I do when my child is saying that they think they're this or they're that in the way of sexuality. We get phone calls like that. First of all, we got to share with them the stats of depression and suicide and disease that come out of lifestyles that the world thinks are great, but God says are not okay for our protection. And then we need to share the legacy of righteousness that lives in our families. We don't do things that way. We do things according to God's word because there's a legacy of righteousness that lives in our family. Now, we don't always live this right, but this is our core value. This is who we are as a family, and you're part of this family. And if you don't have a legacy of righteousness, then you share with your young person that you have talked to the Lord and he's talked to you that this is a goal he has to transform your family. That the buck stops here, that from here on out the legacy is righteousness, and then you look your child in the eye and invite them to help you do that. Yeah. Tell them God has a plan through you and them and your family through many generations that other generations will be blessed, that God has a plan. Share with them about missing the mark of the only image they're created to bear. There's a way that seems right in the world, but in its end is death. Share with them that God made you, not you yourselves. They've been coached that they have all the information. The truest thing about them is what they think it is. That's what they're coached. Remember when I went to the Hera FCA 4 or 5 years ago, I asked the middle schoolers, about 80 of them. I did 2 sessions, 80 in each session of middle schoolers. I asked them both at the start of the talk, who has the truest information about you? And about 80% in each said, we do. They've been coached to believe they know the truth about themselves. You don't know the truth about yourself unless you're agreeing with who God says you are. Because God determines truth, not human beings. But listen, he determined it in a very loving way, not a harsh way, because he loves us. So families transfer things. God blesses me. Why? So I can bless my family, my children. Why? So my children can bless their families. And so on and so forth. Because everything God does with me, he's doing with an eye on the future. God's plan often takes generations to accomplish. Churches don't realize this. Churches often live in the present moment. They don't think much about intentional investment. If you think it's going to come through crowds because your kids come and listen once a week, you're mistaken. They got 8, 12 hours a day on the information superhighway. They got information coming at them all the time. I got them for 40 minutes. And then if they're really radical, they're here on Wednesday night. And then we have them for 10 minutes in large group and 35 minutes in small group. It's going to take intentional investment. It's not going to come from the crowd, people. You're going to have to sit down with them. Take him to lunch. Boy, I'm preaching good. Amen? I'm preaching good. Intentional investment in your young people. Another thing I love about young people today is they love to be invested in. They really do. They love it. They love for people to pour into them, speak truth to them. Think of David's life, King David, so anointed. But remember, he had it in his heart to build God a house. You remember that? But it took Solomon, the next generation, before it happened. We're not going to see every great and wonderful thing God has for us, family, church family, I'm talking to you. We're not going to see everything in our generation. And thank God. You want to know why? Because it's too big to see in one generation. Woo, it's too big. About 22 of you got it. It's too big. Everybody say it's too big. It's too big for us to see in one generation. So let's begin investing. Let's begin being intentional. Let's build legacy. Let's change our family trees. Some of your family trees look like the Charlie Brown tree. They need some help. Some of your family trees need a transformation. Pray that Charlie Brown spirit off of there. Man, that was good. That was free of charge. Wow. It takes generation after generation serving the Lord and listening to him and intentionally investing him into others. Wow, that's so good. God's name is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anybody ever heard of Joseph? Fourth generation who rose to preeminence in Egypt. Second in command. Fourth generation. You see? We got to start looking for the Josephs in our midst, identifying them, the Gideons, and then pouring into them, right? Discover who you are, develop who you are, and deploy who you are all over the planet. Who wants to go to a church where it's all about the local church? I want to go to a church where we're going to change the world. Because I think that's Jesus' plan, is to change the whole world. And I realize that we have our Jerusalem. But there's also Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. If you go kingdom, you got to go planet. Amen. Joseph was fourth generation and rose to prominence in Egypt. We're not going to do it through large evangelistic meetings. We're going to do it through making disciples. And intentionally investing in one heart at a time. And recognizing that everybody in here is a Joseph, is a Gideon, is a Moses in some capacity. If you read Genesis, you cannot read Genesis and think your destiny is a follower. You can't read Genesis and think your destiny is a follower. Every one of us are created to take dominion. And notice of all the things mentioned in Genesis that we're to take dominion over, nowhere does it say we should dominate each other. Nowhere. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Steve? There's no leadership? Of course there's leadership, but it comes through gifting. I'll lead where I'm gifted to lead and everybody can recognize I'm gifted to lead, but Roger can lead where he's gifted to lead and everybody recognizes that he's gifted to lead. George can lead where he's gifted to lead and everybody recognizes he's gifted to lead by Christ himself. Does that make sense? Nobody's dominating each other. It's Amriel's word again. We're serving each other. My gift is not for me, it's for you. You see, when I go high-pitched voice, that means you got to get it. It's a high-pitched point. My Honduras brother. If I go high-pitched, man, you know. It's, right, Lori? It's serious. You better get that. My gift is not for me, it's for you. See, it's just natural. Same with George. Same with Roger. Same with Stacy. Same with Lori. Same with Norma. Same with Donna. Let's rise up and begin to lead in our capacity. Because we are a church, you hear me, that takes followers into leaders and leaders into ambassadors for the kingdom of God on the earth, wherever we are. I love that story about Brother Jeremy and his crew pull into the gas station. They all get out and they pray and lay hands on this woman. Ambassadors for Jesus. Was she touched? She was absolutely touched. She cried, "Thank you. You made my day," is what she said. "No one has ever stopped to pray for me." Right here in Oklahoma in the Bible Belt. We're not going to transform all of Central Oklahoma in just one generation, but I'm telling you, it's going to take intentional investment, take ownership of the value Jesus places on it. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Are we having fun yet? Anybody feel the Holy Ghost here this morning? Deuteronomy 1:6, verse 8 and 11. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, "You have dwelt long enough at this mountain." The word Horeb, write this down, means desert or mountain of dried up ground. Boy, God's speaking to somebody. The Lord spoke to us in our dry place and he said, "You have been here long enough. Turn." Everybody say turn. Turn. Oh, that's so good. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains, the neighboring places, the seacoast, the land, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. Amen, amen. Verse 11, may the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more than you are and bless you as he's promised you. Come on, let's give God praise. May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more than you already are. Lord, let every person who thinks they're a follower shift their mindset to a leader. And everyone who thinks they're a leader recognize, Lord, they're actually an ambassador for the government of Jesus Christ here on the earth, Father. We receive it. We receive it. You've set the land before us. We're going to go out. We're going to move out. We're going to turn and take our journey. We're not going to dwell in the dry places anymore. Amen. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Everybody at Grace Church said, amen. Amen. Amen means so be it. So be it, Lord. We're not whistling Dixie here. Jesus Christ has consumed me, possessed me. To change the world. This is his assignment. He never said, sign a card, get water baptized, and when you're dead, go to heaven and I'll meet you there. He never said that, ever. He never even said, make a church member. It was spoken of John the Baptist and Jesus that John came to baptize you with water unto repentance, but Jesus Christ came to immerse you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. To immerse you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. I have a word here from Annie Lahan, September the 19th. She sent to me. She saw the body of Christ here in central Oklahoma, and it was beaten up, it was dead, it was lifeless. The body had been infected by betrayal and offense and bitterness. But she spoke to the body, and I told her, be filled with the fire of the Spirit, and she started replicating faster than I could count, all bearing the same image. So the body of Christ got up in this vision, came alive by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and then began reproducing, replicating, reproducing. What stage are we in? Reproduction. Reproduction. Reproduce. That's the word of the Lord to this house. Reproduce. Has he done some great things for you? Have you come to know him over the years? Amen. Now it's time to share that. Amen, amen. The catch that is coming is huge. The harvest. He's training us now how to handle, how to love and facilitate growth when all the new babies come in. Well, yeah. If we're all self-centered, if all we care about is our own life, why would God send us any newborns? Personal, intentional investment. We're going to facilitate their growth when they come. He wants to impart power into the nurturers, into the body. He's awakening those that have become fat from consumption to a deep desire to give away all that he's already empowered them with. I saw the young people with consistent character in all settings. Home, work, school, and church. They tasted fire and they won't settle for false fire. Amen. If you're not praying for us on Wednesday nights, you need to be praying. You're not praying for students of grace, please be praying. And don't equate students of grace to just Wednesday night. I mean the students themselves. She said, I saw the older generation coming alive with fresh wind as they began to prophesy to babies in bellies and dream dreams and began to intercede for the next waves that are coming. Everybody's got a role to play. There's no retiring in God, amen? You talk about a generation series. It's not all about young people. Some of the Abraham generation needs to know there's no retiring. God's got stuff for you. Get back on the wall. Amen. Your role is imperative to maintaining the momentum. She said, I see books and resources pouring out of Grace Church. We'll be known as a resource center. We get that all the time. Reconciliation, where it's needed, will change the culture. Literally one relationship at a time. The restoration, where there was bitterness, is going to spread the gospel across the landscape. I mentioned to you during worship, we've seen incredible reconciliation. 4, 5, 6 different relationships reconciled that were completely supernatural. Christians, hey, we can get in the flesh. We can be mad at each other. Doesn't fit us very well, but it happens. I want to say this one more time. I think God's speaking to people here. You've dwelt long enough in this mountain. Your dry places, go ahead and move out, turn and take your journey. There's incredible, this is the word of the Lord to me in my quiet time a few weeks ago. Steve, there's incredible ministry gifts and incredible people within Grace Church right now. There's incredible kingdom assets within Grace Church right now. And it's getting ready to explode. Those were his words, not mine. We cannot change the region by keeping everyone here. It will branch out. It will multiply. The Lord said, we're a fracking instrument sent here to central Oklahoma to break open and bring forth resources that have been dormant in this region for years. Man, give me a church that's alive with the gospel. Give me a group of people possessed by Christ himself who don't want to just, you know, mamby-pamby, live the life, Peter Pan on my way to heaven someday. But who want to change the world. One of the instruments God will use is discipleship, personal, intentional investment for the purpose of transformation. Developing kingdom leaders doesn't begin with crowds. It begins with you personally recognizing your calling to lead. Everybody say it's personal. It doesn't begin with a crowd. It begins with every individual saying, you know what, I am called to lead. All the way back to Genesis, as I mentioned, we're called to lead and to have influence. Rosa Parks, on the bus that day, did not determine she was equal with others on the bus. She discovered she was equal with them. And when she did, she acted on it, became a leader and a change agent in a culture that was trying to lock people into lies and lesser than mindsets. That spirit still lives in this culture. Deception, untruth, lies, falsehood, and a lesser than mindset. See, the world will have you believe only a certain people are really allowed to lead. We're all called to lead. If you read the book of Genesis, we're all called to carry influence. But the world wants to say, no, there's a few select people. We're in charge. We're going to tell you what to do. We're going to dominate you. Oh, no, you're not. Why do you think when communism comes to your country, what's the first thing they got to get out of there? The Bibles? Anything to do with Jesus? Because those people can't be ruled. We cannot be ruled by a human being. We are ruled by Christ himself. Our allegiance will always lie with him. Why do you think the Romans got so frustrated when they'd burn him at the stake, feed him to the lions, and all the Christians would do is sing? You don't rule me. Take my body from me, you may, but you will not make me bow my knee to your government. Woo! Come on, Holy Ghost. Touch your neighbor and say, not going to bow. Josh Kirkus is created to take dominion and to lead. And if you don't know Josh, he's one of your brothers right here at Grace Church. He's created to take dominion, and he's starting to discover that truth. He's discovering, though, what's always been true about him. What God has already known from the day he handcrafted Josh in his mother's womb. He knew he was created to take dominion and to lead and bring change. Josh is just now discovering it. And he's being delivered of small-mindedness, which everyone in this room needs to be delivered of. Small thinking, small-mindedness, every one of us. Woo, man, I feel the Spirit of God. I pray, oh Lord, this is resonating in your spirit. I pray this seed will not be stolen out of your heart. We are not here to create followers. We make followers into leaders and leaders into kingdom ambassadors all over the world. Thank you, Brother Paul. Amen. Truth is truth. The culture says only a few lead, but in God's economy, we're all born to lead and take dominion in the area of our gifting. Everybody thinks a big part of my assignment is to introduce people to Jesus, and rightfully so. But another huge part of my assignment is to introduce each of you to the leader that lives on the inside of you. Well, I feel this thing. I feel it. I didn't wear my running shoes, but I'm holding on to the podium right now. Part of what God's called me to do is introduce every one of you to the true leader that lives on the inside of you, the ambassador of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare war and we take issue with small-mindedness in the body of Christ. We've been kept down and underprivileged. And living beneath our true identity for too long, we break the back of the oppressor in Jesus' name. Rally the troops and lead us out of Egypt once again. Lead us out of Egypt once again in Jesus' name. We will not be held bondage. We will not be held captive to false rulers. Discovering not just young leaders, young lions, Josephs, Gideons, but even the Abraham generation and calling them forth. We all have a seat at the table. We all need to be participating. If you look at everything that God has done at Grace Church over 20 years, some of you have been here the whole time, some of you not. But if you just look at the imprint over 20 years and how amazing that is, let me introduce you to verse 11 again. God wants to make you 1,000 times more than what you are, and bless you as he's promised you. And what is the promise? That all the families of the earth will be blessed. It's a generational work on the inside of us. And I'm telling you, unfortunately, we don't hear a lot of what you're hearing right now in the body of Christ, but God is awakening the sleeping church. The church that Jesus is building is awake. And it's generational, and I'm going to say again, it excites me that we won't see it all done in our generation. Do you think Jesus was generational? Did he say something to this effect? It's better that I go away? Did he say something about even greater works you'll do because I'm going to the Father? Jesus jumped up and down, rejoiced in the Spirit, not when he drove out demons, but when his kids did. When he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning, it never says in the Bible he jumped for joy when he did it, and he did it a lot. But when his kids did, he leapt. He rejoiced in the Spirit. That's a fathering spirit. That's a fathering spirit. And we're embracing it. Amen? I'm not going to see the fullness of God's desire for Central Oklahoma during my lifetime. And that's okay, because it's that big. But what that means is we need to personally, intentionally invest in younger people and other leaders. 1 Corinthians. Oh, there you go. I already mentioned that. I preached way ahead of myself. It's a good word, though, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 4:14. I don't write these things to shame you, but let me warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ I've begotten you through the gospel. Listen to this warning. You got a lot of teachers, but where are the fathers? Where are those that will celebrate the victory of other people around them? Not make a name for themselves, but their prayer is, I pray the one coming after me is twice as anointed as I ever was. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. American Christianity, westernized Christianity, has made superstars. Even America does it. We make superstars and we tear them down. They've done it in the church too. There are no superstars except for Jesus Christ. There's only one ministry on this planet and it's his. You and I just happen to be participating with what he's doing. Does that make sense? It's not my ministry. It's not my church. This is not my nothing. It all belongs to him. Now give him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! What can God do with a people? It would say, Lord, as you increase, we'll decrease. Let us decrease, you increase. It's a kingdom mindset to raise up leaders who benefit the whole body of Christ. You realize, God, there's probably leaders all over this room that are going to go be a blessing at other churches someday. How many of you think that's kingdom? It's yes. We're for the health of the whole body of Christ. A church mindset is too small a mindset. Jesus didn't teach that. We're all brothers and sisters on earth as it is in. Do you think they're all competing against each other in heaven? Do you think there's a Baptist section? Even the Baptists compete with other Baptists. I'm telling you the truth. Pentecostals, they don't just compete with Baptists. They compete with other Pentecostal churches. There's no competition in heaven. We're all on the same team. And when you have faith that Jesus owns and orchestrates it all, you have no fear to release people to go do a work for Jesus somewhere. Are you hearing me? You have no fear. God says to Carl and Rebecca, if he said, go to Luther and help out Luther Christian Church, then we'll send them. That's the great thing about team is when one of us wins, we all win. In a relay race from one generation hand to the next generation to the next generation, the great part about a relay race is when it's over, we all won. And no one person took the credit for any of it. My goodness. Are you hearing? You're hearing the Lord this morning. Is it making sense to you? My goodness. May it never be that, I don't know if this story is true or not, but it should be true if it's not. I heard a guy say one time, he had a dream, actually, and he said he dreamed he was at a funeral, and there was a body in the casket, super good-looking guy, well-built, great athlete, laying in the casket. And he said, as I got over to the casket, as I got closer, I noticed he had a baton in his hand. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me immediately, and he said, that's the body of Christ. That's what they do. They hold on to the baton. They don't pass it. They don't pour into the next generation. They don't look to people coming after them to be twice the runner they ever were. God forbid that would ever be us. Not going to happen just sitting by on our laurels. It's going to take personal, intentional pouring into your kids, your grandkids. Man, take them up, bless them, speak God's word over them. As we go in this series, I'm going to talk to you about how you can break generational curses and how you can leave a legacy with your children and speaking, prophesying over your children and your grandchildren is one of the ways that we can do that. The Lord was ministering to me and he said, Steve, Grace Church will reproduce all over through the new wave of ministry gifts that are coming and are yet now here. As fathers, we will bring them up and bless them. We'll release them to their destinies, just like that park swimming pool dream that I had, where all over that park, there were pockets of Grace Church people ministering to other people. It wasn't just me. There were pockets of groups all over that park. Reproducing Jesus in other people. The Lord said, what I began at Grace Church was never to remain at Grace Church. It's to reproduce and spread through anointed and key people who have a heart for my kingdom. And this kingdom mindset, he said, this structure, this kingdom structure will infiltrate the corporate church and become a model for others. What I love about when we gather together like this as one man, when you hear something that's true, it resonates with your spirit. Amen? Have you ever asked yourself, how do I know that's true? Because the Spirit of truth lives in you. So when you hear truth, the bell goes off. You have an inner witness. Isn't that awesome? I believe that this mindset that we're beginning to uncover here in this series will become a model for many others. Churches to shift from a church structure and a church thinking to kingdom thinking. And for those of you that are Bible studiers and all that, if you'll check it out, the sixth dispensation is the church age. The seventh is the kingdom age. And we move from the church age thinking to kingdom thinking. And the church will be stronger and more powerful and influential in the kingdom age than she ever was in the church age. Amen. My goodness. Gavin, you guys can come. We need to build and develop with a generational mindset. And I'm not just talking about passing on traditions. Judges 15, verse 14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that's burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. And Samson found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and he killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I've slain 1,000 men. Verse 17, and so it was when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone away from his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi. How about that? I don't mean generation to generation you pass some kind of traditions or methodologies. Why did he discard the jawbone? Because the anointing was upon it, not in it. That was just what God used for that time. You know what happened on Christian TV today? We take the jawbone and start selling them. Be like, right? Send me $100 and I'll send you the jawbone that God used to slay 1,000 people, and then you can slay 1,000 of your enemies with it. Are you kidding me? There's no anointing in the jawbone. It just came upon it for that season and for that time. As a church, it's not about methodology. Don't let things own your allegiance that at one time serve God's purpose, but that's not what he's doing now. We have to find creative ways to connect and reach the young people of this generation. We can't just be stuck in three hymns and a songbook and this or that. I'm not against any of it, but hear the voice of God and do what he's doing in the present tense. Whatever it takes. So when I talk about pouring into the next generation or leaving legacy, I'm not talking about some kind of tradition. I'm talking about the living voice of the living God in the present tense. That whatever he says we have need of, we'll take it up for that time. Once it's used, we'll discard it, because he is the anointing that breaks yokes, not a method. Come on, somebody. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Mark 7:13, Jesus said, "The traditions of men nullify the word of God." Because we can get locked into something that at one time was good, one time it was God, but that's not what he's saying do right now. Man. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. I beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. All you have to do, if that's you, is pray a simple prayer. And we'll pray it with you today. If you are here and you want to know Jesus and invite his life into your heart, would you just slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, pray for me. Anyone, I want to know Christ. Anyone." Gathered church, if you would say with me this morning, "Brother Steve, I'm all in, not just outwardly, but I want to be taught. I want the Holy Spirit to guide me and others as necessary into how I can be intentional about pouring in to other people." If that's you, I want you to lift both your hands. We'll pray for you here in this anointing. Those of you worshiping online, if that's you, you just raise your hands right where you are. Father, by the anointing that's present in this house right now, there has been a shift in our mindset. And we invite you, sir, teach us, coach us, use even other people to lead us, guide us in how we can be intentional, prophesying over our children, speaking life intentionally over a coworker, being a blessing to those you send across our path, wherever we are, gas station, Jim's Fried Chicken, wherever. We lift our hands to you. Holy Spirit, immerse us in the cause of Christ once again. Cause the sleeping body of Christ to move out from dry places and dry mountains, to turn and take our journey as a spiritual family, to partner with you to change this world. Right now, church, you should sense the anointing of God. Some of you may have heat on your hands. You may get heat on your ears, maybe on your tongue. Those are just kisses from the Lord, as far as him alighting and anointing upon you to carry out his will. I thank you, Father, for the fire that shut up in our bones. Now give us opportunity. Give us ideas. Give us people on our radar. Holy Spirit, you bring people to our mind, to our spirit, of who we can be encouragers to, especially within our own families. Thank you, Father, that what you're doing is too big for us to see in one generation. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody shout it. Amen and amen. Give him your best praise. Give him your best praise. He is God of all, Lord of all. Woo, hallelujah. If you want to know more about how to walk and live with Christ every day, we have some wonderful people. Meet you down here at the front. Can help coach you in some of these things. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Let's go change the world. Let's do it.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.